أنتم مع SBS عربي 24. استمعوا إلى آخر إصداراتنا بودكاست الهوية.
تحقق شرطة نيو ساوث ويلز في جريمة كراهية محتملة بعد العثور على كتابات مسيئة للإسلام على نفق مزدحم في غرب سيدني. ووصف رئيس حكومة الولاية كريس مينز هذه الحادثة بأنها مثيرة للإشمئزاز. وقد تم العثور على الكتابات المسيئة في شارع هيكتور في ضاحية تشستر هيل صباح أمس الأحد، وتضم منطقة تشستر هيل واحدة من أكبر التجمعات السكانية المسلمة، حيث تصل نسبة السكان المسلمين فيها إلى 40% وفقاً لأرقام التعداد السكاني. وقد التقى ميكروفون SBS Arabic بالمبعوث الخاص لمكافحة الإسلاموفوبيا في أستراليا السيد أفتاب مالك، وسألناه بداية عما شهدته منطقة تشستر هيل في عطلة نهاية الأسبوع، فوصف الكتابات بالمروعة وغير المقبولة، مضيفا أن مرتكبيها قد تجاوزوا الحد الفاصل بين حرية التعبير إلى الكراهية، ولا مكان لمثل هذا السلوك بحسب رأيه في أستراليا متعددة الثقافات والأديان، لأنه سيؤجج الكراهية والانقسام ويضع مزيدا من الضغط على الوئام الاجتماعي.
So first, Hannah, I think it's important to acknowledge that the Premier put out a statement that was quite strong and unequivocal, and the many of the Muslim leaders I spoke to really appreciated that. Regarding the message itself, what was sprayed was appalling, and it's simply unacceptable, and it crosses the line from free speech to hate speech. And in the multicultural and the multi-faith Australia that we are in, That has no place whatever. That message can only do one thing. It can only fuel hate and division. And so it really places a great deal of pressure on social cohesion, and it really takes a strong leadership to call hate out.
وأدان السيد مالك الاعتداء على كنيس أداس إسرائيل اليهودي في مدينة ملبن، والذي اعتبرته السلطات حادثة معادية للسامية، مشددا على حق كل الأستراليين في ممارسة شعائر دينهم أيا كان دون خوف، معتبرا أن هذا الحق هو حجر أساس في مجتمع علماني ومنفتح كأستراليا.
Well, whatever is taking place, what is at risk is people's safety, and whoever you are, we all need to work together to ensure that everyone is safe in Australia so we can all thrive. And in regards to places of worship, and I think it's really important that we explain that an attack on a synagogue is an attack on all places of worship. In Australia, which is a secular democracy, you're free to practice your religion or have no religion, and practice your religion free from fear. This is a really important cornerstone of secular liberal democracy. And the fact that worshippers were in their place of worship and attacked is despicable, and it has no place in society whatsoever.
وأوضح المبعوث الخاص لمكافحة الإسلاموفوبيا في أستراليا السيد أفتاب مالك أن منصبه قد أنشئ بسبب الارتفاع غير المسبوق في حوادث معاداة الإسلام وكراهيته بعد هجمات 7 أكتوبر على إسرائيل، وأشار إلى أن مهام عمله المستقل عن الحكومة تشمل مكافحة الكره والإساءة والعنف ضد المسلمين في أستراليا عبر تقديم المشورة ونشر الوعي والعمل مع أصحاب القرار من أجل إتاحة الفرصة لجميع الأستراليين للعيش بسلام والمساهمة كذلك في إثراء مجتمعهم.
Yeah, well, the reason why I am in this role, as you may know, is because of the 7 October attacks that took place in Israel resulted in Islamophobic incidences reaching an astronomical height. So following the 7 October, there was an increase of 607% of Islamophobic incidents. And while I'm independent of government, the government of the day decided something needed to be done. And so my role effectively seeks to address and combat the hate, the abuse, and the violence towards Muslims. It also involves me providing advice, promoting education and clarity and awareness, but also working with stakeholders that are working in the anti-racism and anti-discrimination space. And the idea is for ultimately that everyone can live and thrive in Australia in peace, but also contribute to Australian society in a meaningful way.
ولقد سألنا السيد أفتاب مالك ما إذا كانت الحرب في غزة هي العامل الرئيسي للارتفاع الكبير في حوادث معاداة الإسلام في أستراليا. هذه الزيادة بلغت 600% بحسب هيئة The Islamophobia Register، والتي توثق الاعتداءات ضد المسلمين في أستراليا منذ 2014، فأجاب قائلا إن الأحداث الدولية كحرب غزة تساهم بلا شك في زيادة الهجمات على المسلمين في مجتمع ما، ولكنه أضاف أن هناك عوامل محلية أخرى تساهم في خلق بيئة معادية للإسلام، كالصور النمطية للمسلمين في الإعلام المحلي والسياسات الوطنية التي تتبعها الحكومات أيضا.
The evidence suggests that global events they trigger Islamophobic responses domestically. So what happens overseas does play a part where you are located, whether you're in America or England or in our case Australia. And so that is something that we must look to understand what is driving Islamophobia. And there's many things that are driving Islamophobia, and I can offer you three from the top of my head. The first one, undoubtedly, is the 9/11 terror attacks that took place in America, and that really created a wave of negative sentiment across the world towards Muslims. The second area is really how the media portrays Muslims in Australia and Islam generally. And there was a report in 2017 from an organization based in New South Wales that monitored newspapers for 1 year, and they, in their analysis, they showed that 3,000 newspapers associated Islam with radicalization, extreme, and terrorism, along with Muslims. And so what we read influences how we think. And a final area that I think is important is that the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding, which is a think tank in America, they've proven the fact that national politics also influences the way people perceive Muslims. And so it's really important that our politicians don't fall into the trap of creating an environment that foments and makes socially acceptable abuse and intimidation towards Muslims.
وفي أعقاب الاعتداء على الكنيس اليهودي في مدينة ملبن وكتابة عبارات مسيئة لإسرائيل على بعض الجدران في مدينة سيدني الأسبوع الماضي، قالت المبعوثة الخاصة لمكافحة معاداة السامية جيليان سيغل إنه يجب فرض قيود على متى وأين يسمح بإقامة المظاهرات المؤيدة للفلسطينيين في مراكز المدن، ووصفتها بأنها مخيفة للمجتمع اليهودي. عن رأيه في هذا المقترح أكد السيد مالك أن أي تشريع حول تنظيم المظاهرات يجب أن يأخذ بعين الاعتبار حق المواطن الأسترالي في التظاهر بالتوازن مع سلامة الآخرين وضمان التزام المتظاهرين بالقانون وعدم الإضرار بالآخرين واحترام سلامتهم.
So I have met Gillian twice, maybe three times, and we're working in our communities in a different manner, We have different ways of addressing the challenges that are facing each of our respective communities. But ultimately, what we are concerned with is the safety of our own respective communities. Saying that, it's not really for me to comment on the statements that my counterpart makes. But in regards to what she said, I think it's really important that the legislators that take into consideration, they have to take in consideration the rights of the citizen, the rights to protest. And they need to balance that out with the safety of the individuals present in the area.
So do you think that pro-Palestinian protests are actually harming the social cohesion in Australia?
Well, it's not really for me to make that statement. And I think it's important that we state that protests, the idea behind protests is they arise due to an idea to disrupt the normal state of affairs. So something has created an environment in which protesters feel that they need to go out and grab public attention. And so long as these protests are within the law and they're not harming anyone and they are respectful, then the decision is for the legislators. But so as long as they are, as I said, respectful, legal, and peaceful, anyone can actually protest.
ومع استمرار الجدل حول أفضل سبل مكافحة الإسلاموفوبيا ومعاداة السامية في أستراليا، سألنا المبعوث الخاص لمكافحة الإسلاموفوبيا في أستراليا السيد أفتاب مالك عن رأيه حول شعور بعض الأستراليين المسلمين من أن حوادث الإسلاموفوبيا لا تحظى بنفس الدرجة من الإدانة والشجب الحكومي والتغطية الإعلامية في أستراليا، وهذا ما عبرت عنه السيناتور المستقلة فاطمة بايمن الأسبوع الماضي عندما قالت بوجود ازدواجية في المعايير عند التعامل مع الهجمات ضد المسلمين. فأقر بهذا الوضع واصفا الإسلاموفوبيا بالسرطان الخفي الذي يقضي على الوئام الاجتماعي، مشيرا إلى أن هناك أسباب عديدة وراء هذا الوضع، من بينها عدم الإبلاغ عن كل جرائم الكراهية ضد الإسلام والمسلمين، وعدم الثقة لدى المسلمين الأستراليين من إمكانية وضع حد لهذه الهجمات، بالإضافة إلى حواجز أخرى من بينها حواجز اللغة.
Islamophobia has reached a height that it's never seen in Australia since it's been recorded, which is 2014. We're seeing a 607% increase following the 7th of October attacks. And as a result of that, my role was created to address and combat Islamophobia. It's unfortunate. I refer to Islamophobia as a silent cancer eating away at social cohesion, that attacks on mosques, for example, are actually quite common, more common than people think. A group of researchers convened in 2020 to see just how widespread attacks are against mosques. And of the 75 mosques that they conducted in the pilot study, over 58% of those mosques had been victims of targeted violence. And it's grossly unfortunate that it seems that Islamophobia doesn't meet the moral outrage that many of us feel should rightfully be acknowledged. Again, going back to those comments with the graffiti sprayed on the underpass in Chester Hill, now that is a public display of hate. But you and me and many of the listeners will understand the private hate messages that many institutions, many Muslim institutions, many individuals, and many mosques across Australia receive on a regular basis. But it hasn't been enough to invoke a public outrage. The answer to that is probably multifaceted. One area of my role is certainly to improve awareness about this phenomenon and the impacts that Islamophobia has on the ordinary lives of Australian citizens. And I'm actually convinced, Hannah, I'm completely convinced that if Australian citizens knew and understood the daily troubles and tribulations and the humiliation that many women actually have to endure, they would be disgusted. Now, as to the reason why it's not, it is more public than we think. I have to say that also many people, as I've learned from my 5-week engagements, don't report Islamophobia. So what we're seeing a 607% increase. I'm inclined to think that that's actually a low number. Many of the individuals that are engaged, they spoke to me about their engages or their experiences with Islamophobia, but they don't report. And organizations that are trying to catalog and document Islamophobia are crying out to the community saying, look, please report when these incidents take place, because it's important for us to log, are these incidents increasing or they're decreasing? So even within the Muslim community, there's 7 reasons why people don't decide to report them. One of them is that people believe nothing is going to happen. There's a great deal of apathy from the Muslim community. Another reason is they believe that, there's some shame that if we somehow talk about this, then people will look to them as people who are playing the victim card. All you're doing is complaining about this and complaining about that. Another area is that many people don't like going to police stations. They have a negative feeling towards police stations. Sometimes they're scared. Another reason is language. There's language barriers that are there. So there's many reasons why it's not reported, and perhaps that's why it's not in the media attention. But going back to my earlier statement, one of my roles is to improve the awareness amongst the public about this phenomenon, and more importantly, the impact it has on its targets and victims.
هذا وقد بدأ السيد مالك جولة حول أستراليا للوقوف على حجم واتساع أزمة الإسلاموفوبيا في البلاد، موضحا أنه سيركز على وضع آلية لمواجهة الصورة النمطية ضد الإسلام والمسلمين، بالإضافة للعمل مع السلطات لضمان محاسبة مرتكبي جرائم الكراهية ضد المسلمين.
I spent the last 5 weeks traveling across Australia trying to understand the scope and scale of Islamophobia and listening to the experiences, but also trying to understand what is the best way to drive down Islamophobic attacks. I'm actually halfway through my consultation, so I'm not able to provide anything solid and tangible right now, but whatever I do, it needs to be impactful and it needs to be meaningful. And some areas have occurred in which I would be looking at to see how I would be able to tackle comprehensively Islamophobia. One of the areas would be to ensure that we are able to counter the stereotypes of Islam and Muslims in Australia, another area would be working with relevant agencies to ensure that the perpetrators of Islamophobia are held to account. Another area would be to ensure that there's adequate provisions put in place to ensure that discrimination cannot take place. And a final area that repeatedly comes up is to ensure that Muslims have provisions in place to ensure that they're safe.
جدير بالذكر مستمعين أن السيد أفتاب مالك قد ولد في بريطانيا لأبوين باكستانيين وهاجر إلى أستراليا في عام 2012 عندما دعته الجمعية الإسلامية اللبنانية للعمل كباحث مقيم لتدريس وتوجيه الشباب المسلم في الضواحي الغربية لسيدني. ومؤخرا عمل السيد مالك في مكتب رئيس حكومة ولاية نيو ساوث ويلز في إدارة المشاركة المجتمعية ومكافحة التطرف.
I'm a British Pakistani. I was born and raised in England. My focus is really on really understanding the Islamic tradition. I spent over 25 years studying and learning Islam from across the world, listening to scholars who imbue this beautiful tradition that is predicated in mercy. It's a merciful religion. It's a religion of beauty. Unfortunately, we've seen the ugly side of religion through individuals who have no basis or credentials to speak about the religion of Islam. And sadly, as we've seen from post 9/11, we've seen this very beautiful religion that has produced wonderful arts, wonderful edifices, contributed to the Western civilization, was transformed from a religion to live for to a religion to die for. And that is unfortunately something that Muslims have been grappling with and trying to address for the last 20 years, including myself. So I've been very much focused on talking about Islam, looking at the Islamic tradition, connecting people to this vibrant civilization that was seen to be synonymous with knowledge and beauty and mercy. I came over to Australia over 13 years ago to deliver a series of lectures at the Lebanese Muslim Association. And then they invited me to come back, and I stayed for 15 months where I was a scholar in residence, and I undertook a series of public and private lectures, both to the public and to young Muslims around the age of 21 to about 26. And then after that, I was approached by the New South Wales government following a terrorist incident in Parramatta. And the government was quite interested for me to lend me my expertise in understanding the phenomenon of ideology and how bitter it can be and how it undermines Islam. So for about 10 years, I have been working in the Premier's Department of New South Wales, really trying to understand how I can improve social cohesion, improve the lives of young Muslims, but more importantly, ensure that in a multicultural, multi-faith Australia, people can live together in peace. And then I was approached for this role to tackle Islamophobia. My work colleagues and actually people in the community encouraged me to apply for this role. And then when I met the Minister of the Home Affairs, the Minister Tony Burke, he actually told me that my name had come up in his consultations. So he told me that his approach was different to his predecessor in that he wasn't asking the community for names to be recommended. He was asking community, what sort of person do you think is required in this role? And he said, after I spoke to so many people, your name kept on coming up. And he goes, I just wanted to know who you were and what were you doing. And hey, presto, Hannah, I'm now in this role. It's been 2 months and maybe 3 days. And I'm trying to do the best that I can.
كان هذا المبعوث الخاص لمكافحة الإسلاموفوبيا في أستراليا السيد أفتاب مالك في حديث خاص مع SBS Arabic أعدته وقدمته هناء ياسين.
هل تريدون الاستماع إلى المزيد من هذه القصص؟ استمعوا من خلال أبل بودكاست، جوجل بودكاست، سبوتيفاي أو من أينما تحصلون على البودكاست.